Can we just say again, God, Jesus, this is not any man's church, God. This is Jesus, this is your church. Jesus, you are the head of the church. And God, we want to be careful to honor you in everything that we do. God, we honor you with the money that comes into this church. God, we endeavor to hear from you, God, about where that goes and how to utilize your money. We thank you, God. We thank you also, God, for every giver that gives, God, and as a part of your kingdom moving forward. Pray your blessings on everyone who gives. We honor you, and we do this as a way to say, God, we worship you. We honor you with our giving. And with the sweat of our brow, the money that we get, we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. 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 Well, before we get started on my message, I just want to say I had the privilege to be a part of the Holy Spirit Encounter Weekend. And if you've never been to a Holy Spirit Encounter Weekend, I want to do a better job of promoting that ministry. That is a phenomenal ministry that we're a part of, and I just can't say enough right now. How many of y'all have been through Holy Spirit Encounter? You've been through one of the meetings, and you can ask them, testify that is an awesome thing to be a part of. I got the privilege to be in one of the prayer rooms, because if you go, we'll get to pray for you and pray with you. Isn't that right, Nathaniel? And I got the privilege to be part of the prayer team, to be able to watch God transform people in front of you. Like they come in one way and they leave a different way. And watch God just minister to people and love on people. It was just a great, awesome ministry. And if you've ever been to a prayer room, you just think, wow, I could be addicted to those prayer rooms. Amen. And it's just an awesome ministry. And I want to, and let me just say, if you're interested more about that, actually go see Jessica. Jessica Fields is a big part of that ministry. Also, Callie and Hannah are a big part of that ministry as well. What's that?
Registration for women's.
And let me just say, I'm so glad you said that. If you are a woman and you want to go, I am not even kidding, you need to sign up tomorrow. Because they will fill up, these women's things, this year, this HSC has gone to a whole nother level of amazingness. And it is filling up like this. People are starting to find out what God does in your life as you go to these things. And so I just want to challenge you. If you've never been, just do it. Sign up tomorrow, right? Tomorrow? Online? Where can they sign up? HolySpiritEncounter.org. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to... Let me just pray again for myself. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, God, for your word. Your word is life. And Holy Spirit, we invite you. Speak to us. Just take a minute before we go into the word and just say, Holy Spirit, I'm open and I'm ready to receive your word. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?
Amen?
Amen. So we've been doing a series on get into the fight. Get in the fight. So we've been teaching on the fact that we need to be people that there is a warrior type thing, a part of the Word of God that we need to get involved with, right? We need to fight off demonic strongholds. And God's given us authority to walk in. So this morning, as I was... getting up. Actually, yesterday, I was at the Holy Spirit Encounter, and I was talking to a guy named Dan. And me and him were talking. He was kind of, Dave, what have you been preaching on at church? And I was kind of sharing with him what, you know, we're doing a series. And he goes, what are you teaching on tomorrow? And I said, well, I've studied out. And he said, and then this out of my mouth, it just came out of my mouth. And I said, whatever the Lord wants to talk about. Well, that was interesting. That began a thought process that the Lord really, until this morning, said, David, that's not what you're going to talk about this morning, and this is what I want you to talk about. So I'm so glad that you're here, and I want you to know that whatever this thing that God wants to speak to you is for this group of people here this morning and everybody who wants to listen to it on podcast. But I want to talk on the subject this morning of knowing God. Of knowing God. I believe one of the things that I say this with all due respect to the body of Christ in America. There's two things that I feel like in our church culture that we are losing. Where I say losing because we haven't all the way lost it. But we are losing two of these things that are critical to our walk and to our life as a believer. The first one is the subject of lordship. Now, we don't like to talk about lordship anymore. We don't like to talk about Jesus as Lord and we submit ourselves. The word submit is like we are anti-submit. Like, I don't know if you know, but Jesus, we refer to Jesus as King. Right? He is King. He is Lord of all. Right? And in America, we don't do kings. Listen, I got to vote. You know, I get to vote. You know, I want to vote. I'll vote my laws. I'll vote my leaders. I'll vote. You know, I get a say. When there's a king, you don't get a vote. Right? Lordship is a big thing. We need to get back to the idea that Jesus is Lord in the body of Christ. And we submit ourselves to Him in His ways and His rules and His moral code, right? We need to get back to that thinking and that mindset. The second thing that we need to get back to is we need to know God. You go, well, Dave, we know God. I go to church. I know God. Do we? Or to what level do we know God? There's depths to God. There's deeper places to God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony. So if you've been around me anytime, you've heard probably my testimony. But I want to share a little bit of how I really got to know God. But I'm going to teach on it a little bit. And I was like, Lord, will you just please give me some scriptures like this morning? I walked up to poor Sharon. Sharon was already, she had already typed because I do my notes. Like I usually study. And guys, I study for hours to prepare for my messages. And so I got my message and everything. And we have a Google Docs that we share with the tech team. They already have it. So, you know, they already have it on Sunday morning. They're already typing all my notes in. And I walked up to Sharon this morning. I said, Sharon, I'm sorry. But you're going to have to take it up with God. But I just got like 3-4 scriptures I would like you to put in. And she goes, can I share that save it for next week? And I said, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's going on anymore. So whatever the Lord wants. So I want to read, the first scripture I want to read, as she puts it on the screen, is Genesis chapter 3. And it says, Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And this is where they had sinned, right? And it says they hid from him. But I want you to see that phrase that he heard the Lord walking in the cool of the garden. This is like, seems like this was an everyday kind of occurrence. That this is what a deal that God and humanity walked together. Before sin, God and humanity walked together. They communed together. They talked together. I don't know what they talked about. That would be some great conversations. And then I want you to see. Well, we're going to preach all the way from Genesis to Revelation. I want you to see in Revelations chapter 21. I'm going to have to go there myself this morning. And I'm going to start before they put that scripture on the screen. I want to read verse 1. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is at the end of days, right? So I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Hang on. This is a work in progress this morning. It says, For the first heaven, I was reading out of the Amplified, and the first in the heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And it says in verse 2, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, the dwelling place, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. There will be no more death, no more, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the older things have passed away. The Bible says that now, at the end of time, when our enemy is thrown off, right, and he's vanquished forever, he says now that God will be with people. I want you to see this gap between Genesis chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 21, that the plan from the beginning and the plan has always been God and man in communion together and in fellowship with each other. It's always been God's plan. What's that cry out of your heart? What's that cry of all humanity? Not just believers, but the cry of all humanity. Why do people do all the things to fill themselves with things that aren't of God? Why do people fill? It's the guy who said, it's been credited by a bunch of different people. People say Chesterton said it. People say C.S. Lewis said it. But the saying is this, that every man who walks into a brothel is looking for God. Every person who does drugs, does all this stuff to try to fill themselves with different kind of stuff, they're looking for God. It's the cry of humanity. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that God has put eternity in the hearts of everyone. I was sharing with somebody the other day, and I said, yes, the truth is that there is a God-shaped hole, right, in everybody's heart. And people fill with all kind of stuff, and it only can be filled with God himself. We are created by him and for him. It's the plan since the beginning that God dwells with man and fellowships. We use terminology like the bride and the husband, relationships that God wants to have with us. And then Jesus comes, like Brian said. I'm just going to preach Brian's message this morning. I don't have my own notes this morning. I'm preaching Brian's. But the Bible comes along. Jesus comes. And the Bible says that when Jesus, you know, he talked about how we could only approach God through the sacrifice, really, and only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. Well, when you read, the Bible says that when Jesus died, when it just in his death, the Bible says the temple of the temple, the veil of the temple was torn in two. I mean, what does that mean? That means that everybody is now invited to the very Holy of Holies to dwell with God. And through that blood, through Jesus' blood shed, you've heard me say it, I can walk into the very presence of God as though sin never existed in my life. I can have relationship with God. With God. But what we've done is we've made Christianity and churchianity a set of rules, regulations, do this, do that. Hey, you want to prosper? You can do this. You want the power of God? Just do this. And we miss the very point of everything. The whole design of mankind is to know their God. It's to know God. Just put them on speakerphone. You can listen to the message. To know God. That's it. The end of all man is to know God. It was the plan in the beginning. It is the plan at the end. It's the plan all of all time. It's the cry of your heart. People came into the prayer room. Every single one of them, they said the same thing. What is God doing with you? What do you want? I want more of God. Of course. It's the cry of people. I want to know God. So when I was 21 years old, I got radically saved. I got radically born again, rededicated, whatever. I'm just surrendered my life to God, really what it is. At a large Bible study, met up with some of these holy rollers, tongue talkers, and learned about the infilling of the Spirit. And God, oh man, don't get near those people. They will just suck you right in, just saying. And then just this hunger to know God grew in me. Just this hunger. So being a 21-year-old, zealous for God, wanting everything God had for me, this was my dilemma. This is what I would hear. As a Christian, you have to get up early in the morning and you have to pray. That's what Christians do. And then Larry Lee, how many of y'all remember, anybody remember Larry Lee? Larry Lee had a teaching years ago. He said, cannot just tarry 1 hour. So Larry Lee, like, you need to pray for 1 hour. I was like, okay. So I don't know how many 21-year-olds you know that really love the morning. And so I would be at my job like at 7:30 in the morning. So that, do the math, you know. I mean, some of you know. That's early for like a 50-year-old, much less a, you know, 21-year-old. And so I remember, this is my life, right? I would get up in the morning, and I had this roommate. Sometimes disciplined people just drive you nuts, don't they? It's like you just want to smack them in the face. Like, you know what I mean? Some of you are disciplined people, and I have aught with some of you. So, so I had this really super disciplined roommate. He was like, he's just that guy. You know what I mean? And so my alarm goes off for like an hour. Because I set my alarm, because I go to bed going, God, you know, I want to get up. I'm going to get up. Tomorrow morning's the morning. Tomorrow morning is the morning that I'm going to get up and I'm going to seek God. You know? So, you know, day after day, it was disappointment. Like, I get up, same thing happened every morning. I get up, I look to my right, and he had a big architecture desk. And he's up there. He has a little cool little picture of Jesus. Probably had communion set out or something. I don't know what he did. His Bible open, and he's just like lost, like gone. And I'd walk, but I'd get up, and I'm like, what in my hair? You know, especially when I was 21, I had a lot more. And it was like, oh, just insane. Like, I'd walk, oh, jerk. I'm sorry, God. He's not a jerk. He's just, you know. And it's just like this, I live with this like condemnation guy, like right in my own life, you know. It's that guy, you know what I'm saying? Anybody relating to this at all? You just go, oh my gosh. Like, and so, man, it's just so frustrating. And I would drive to work and I'd go, God, is it okay if I just pray in the car? Is that okay? Like, I heard people tell me it's not okay to pray in a car. It's not the best. And oh, I'm sorry. This is all I got right now. And those prayers, how many of you know, don't even raise your hands. So that was my life. Like, I lived in that condemnation and guilt. And so one morning, so I went to bed, and I was, that's it. You know me, I've had all I can stand. I can't stand no more. This is what I prayed. I said, God, listen, whatever it takes to get me up and get me out of bed, like, I will, whatever it takes, earthquake, whatever, push me out of bed, angel, just shove me out of bed, whatever it takes, get me out of bed tomorrow morning. Tomorrow is D-Day. You know, and I was like, God, and I remember praying, going, God, how much of a pure request can that be? Like, there is not a more pure request than get me out of bed so I can seek you. So I wake up the next morning, go to bed, wake up the next morning, look at my clock, I'm late for work. Are you kidding me? So now I'm mad at myself, I'm mad at my alarm clock, I'm mad at my roommate who's still praying, I'm mad at God now, and I'm mad at him for making this hair because it takes me like 20 minutes to get this thing patted all down. So I'm like, so I'm all getting all dressed, and I'm like, oh man, I'm so mad. I've lost it. I'm like, I am at that point where I'm aggravated, I'm mad. Now I'm mad at God. So I'm like, nobody's on my side now, like, right? So I remember, I'm going back to my room, and I grab my keys, and I look at my clock, and I read the clock wrong, and I was an hour before I even had to leave. God, remember all those things I just told you about yourself? I'm sorry. And I thought, man, you know what? I got an hour more I could sleep. Yeah. And then I had to fix my hair again, yeah. But I didn't. I sought the Lord. And then I was driving to work that morning. And the Lord was like, you don't have to seek me in the morning. I had this mindset in my mind that if I miss my... Remember the space shuttle launches? Remember they had like the launch window? Yeah. Remember that? They had the launch window. Like they had to, like, between 8 and 10. If they didn't get it in, like there's storms, we had to scrub it and go like 2 days later. Yeah. Remember that? The launch? I kind of put that as my prayer life. Yeah. Like, missed my launch window this morning. We'll see about this tomorrow, God. We'll, you know. That's kind of my mindset on prayer. I don't know where I learned it. And then God said, you know what? I'm available whenever you want. I went, God, you're so kind. Isn't that kind? I'm available whenever. So I said, God, I was single at the time. I said, God, you mean? And it just dawned on me. I can go home after work and I can just pray. That was like revelation knowledge, you know, to my 21-year-old theological mind. And so the crazy thing is I did. I thought I'd come home from work. And God, listen, I was so hungry. I was so hungry for God. I just wanted more of God. And I would go into my room, clean out a space on the floor. I was 21, single. Clear out a space on my floor. And I would put some good Maranatha music on. Somebody remember Maranatha? Some old Hillsong. When, like, you know, what's her name used to sing for? Yeah, Darlene used to do. Yeah. Yeah. Radically changed Christian music forever. And I would put, I had one, Touching Heaven, Changing Earth. I remember the cassette tape that I used to listen to. And I would put that on. And I would get on the floor, just like this. I would get on the floor before God. And I told God, I said this. I said, God, here I am. And I would tell God this. This might rattle your brain. I said, God, I'm not getting up till I sense your presence in this room. I'm not getting up till I know that I've heard from you. And I would tell God this, and I was so sincere. I go, God, if you ever want me to do anything ever again, if you want me to go to work tomorrow, you're going to have to show up. I'm desperate for you, God. I know we don't like to use that word, but I was so hungry. I was so just, I needed God. I was saved. I was filled with the Spirit, but I wanted more of God. More of God. And God would show up. I remember the first couple of times I would just be on my face, just, you know, singing those songs. And I remember then I'd just shut it off and just be quiet before the Lord, just me and Him. So when I talk about just you and Him, I mean just you and Him. And I would say, God, and God's presence would come in the room. Sometimes it would be 45 minutes with nothing. And then towards the end, I just sense God's presence, just this manifest presence that you can't describe, you can't explain, but all you know is that you're surrounded by something that's not you. And His presence just come. I remember one time when I tell this testimony, I always tell this part of it. And like I said, some of this is really new for some of you guys. I'm just telling you my experience. And I remember I was so curious, like when the Bible talks about the holiness of God, right? The holiness of God. Like God is holy. I was like, I don't even really understand. So I was 21. I really didn't understand like what that meant. Like, you know what I mean? And so I remember enwrapped in that presence of God. And I said this, I said, God, and it was sweet, it was comforting, like a big blanket around you, you know. And I said, God, I said, I want to see Your holiness. I want to know Your holiness. And then immediately, the whole feeling, if you will, of the room shifted. And all of a sudden, I was well aware of who God was. And I was well aware who I was without Jesus. And the holiness of God, when they talk about the mercy and the severity of God, there's a holiness to God. God is holy. And that holy can be terrifying. Because, see, God's not like, yes, I am a friend of God, but He is also God, creator. And He is holy, all holy. And I said, wow, that was amazing, God. Okay, I'm done. Got it. Check. I'll bring back the blanket, right? And I did it for months and months and months. Just in God's presence every day. Day after day after day after day. And God would speak to me things about my own life. He would correct me about my character. He would deal with me about the way I treated other people. He would test me, try me in my own heart about my own walk with Him and my own holiness. I learned to know God. So you see all these people. You think about if you know the Wigglesworths and the names, the big names that you go, man, that's my... Look at their walk with God. Watch their walk with God. Watch their knowing of God. And not just the harshness of the do's and the don'ts and the, you know. It's the knowing God. That's right, William. It's the relationship with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at this scripture. It says this. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I want to know God. I want to fellowship with God. And let me just say, this is available to everyone. The Bible says in Daniel, just get the reference for you. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, it says, the people who know their God, it's not up there, people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. The people who know their God. Actually, if you read it, actually the idea of that is not just to be strong and do exploits, but to be strong and resist, like resist other things, resist the world, or resist the things. Actually, he's talking about the covenant, people who broke the covenant and now are, you know, people, those people, right? But the people who know their God will be strong and resist. Like you resist the world, the culture, and the everything, and you receive all of God, what God has for you. The people who know their God. David says like this, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I would not sin against you. See, it's not principles. It's not just, let me rephrase it. It's not just principles. It's not just the A plus B equals blessing. Well, confession is the answer. Just to confess it and believe it and, you know. All of that is true. All of that is true. But the base of it all is your relationship with God. How do you have faith? Not just because you're a good person of confession. It's because you know God. You know His character. You know Him in an intimate way. You know Him. Paul says that I would know Him. That I would know Him. I will put everything in my past except to know Him. Everything I've ever done, I put it, it's all like nothing except to know Him. And it's from there. It's from there. Listen. You want victory? You want to talk about the weapons of your warfare? You're talking about defeating the enemy, defeating strongholds? Know God. Know Him. He fights for you, right? He is your defender. And He tells you if your ears are open to Him telling you. John chapter 4. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, right? It's a great conversation. It's just Jesus, classic Jesus. And, you know, He just reads her mail right there. You know, He just reads her mail, you know, about her many husbands, and the one she's with now is not her husband, and blah, blah, blah. And she makes this statement, so one of the classic lines of the whole Bible. And after He completely reads her mail, like tells her everything about her life, she goes, I perceive you're a prophet. Genius. Go ahead, put the scripture up. He says this. And then she starts talking. Let me do a backstory of this. Then she starts talking and says, well, we think you're supposed to worship God here, and the Jews say we're supposed to worship God there on this mountain. Is it this mountain or is it this mountain, God? Which mountain is it? And Jesus is like, it don't matter your mountain. It don't matter where you're at. It don't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what denomination you're affiliated with. It doesn't matter if you're at home or you're at church or you're in your car or whatever. Jesus says this, yet a time is coming and now has come when true worshipers, everybody say true. If there's true worshipers, then there's none untrue worshipers. Interesting thought. The true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God is a what? Spirit. And those who worship Him Let me just read it. God is a spirit, and His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. There's good news in this scripture. Listen, I heard a guy say this. He said, if you're looking for God, if you're seeking after God, you're wanting God, he said, start worshiping. And God will come find you. The Bible says He is searching for people who worship Him in spirit and in truth. One of the fastest ways to enter into great relation, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if you will, is worship. It's when your heart worship is out of a heart of gratitude. I don't have time to talk about what spirit and truth is. First of all, you got to know that it's not out of your head. It's not out of your head. You are spirit. That part of you that yearns for God, you know that part, right? That part of you that says, I want to serve God. I want to go for God, right? Paul talks about it. The things I want to do, I don't do, right? But there's something on the inside of Paul that drove him to know God. That's in all of us believers. That's the place you know God. That's the itch, if you will, that will get scratched when you know God. But it's by your spirit. I wish I had like 4 hours so I could teach you on body, soul, spirit. True worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. How do you have a relationship with God? By your spirit. By your spirit. It's not by your mind. Not by your feelings. Although sometimes they do collide. And it does collide with your mind. There are times. But it's by your spirit. You worship God. Some of you, have you ever had that time you're in worship? And you're just like, doggone it, I had it this morning. I just tell on myself. You have your hands raised and you're worshiping God and you're thinking about like tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like you're singing. You're singing out of your mouth. You're worshiping. Well, you're saying it. You're singing the song. You're waving your hands. You might be even moving. And like your mind is like on like, is Auburn going to make it to the next bracket? Like that's what you're thinking. We beat North Carolina. Everything's possible. Busted my bracket though. That's pain. I believe in God, brother. I am a believer. I'm a Georgia Tech fan. Are you kidding me? The just shall live by faith. What's that about? The Spirit. You're standing there worshiping. And like everything in your mind is going, and have you ever made the switch? And you said, wait, no. You arrested your mind, your thoughts, and go, no, I'm focusing back on God. And something in the atmosphere around you changes. You know why? Because now you have entered into true worship. Where you're worshiping God out of your heart. Those words that are up on that screen, the words that are coming out of your mouth are connecting with your very spirit, man, and you're worshiping God. We contact God with our spirit. And it's available to everyone. The people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. The people, most likely the people that you look up to, and you think about the old people. Sometimes, I'm kind of in a mode where I'm really wanting to press into some of our old saints that we read about, that we look up to, right? Man, they knew God. Listen to a hymn. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me about that. Listen to this hymn. Some of you remember the old hymn, In the Garden. It's a great old hymn. How many of you know that hymn, In the Garden? It says, I walk in the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And who? What's the next line? And the dew is still on the roses. And the joy we share, right? As we tarry there, none other will ever know. And he walks with me. Come on, guys. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And then it says, the joy we share as we tarry there, no one can ever know. And I walk through the garden alone, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own. That's the communion that God wants to have with us. That's the communion, guys, listen, that our world craves. When our walk, listen to me carefully. When our life is not full of the communion of God, is it any wonder while our representation of Him is faulty? When we haven't spent that time with Him and we don't walk with Him and we don't allow His presence to come and we don't allow Him to change us, then the world has every right and says, you are a fake and you are a phony. Listen. And don't give me, look at all my signs and wonders. Can I just get on it? Come on, because we need to hear this. We need to accurately represent Him in this earth. And it happens as we spend time with Him. We change our will to His will. We change our wants to His wants. Because when we do, then the world will know. The Bible says they will see your good works and glorify God. They may not even believe, but they'll see. How many of your unbelieving friends look at there and go, I don't know about that guy, but that guy's, I don't know, he's real. That guy's real. Let it be said about us. Let it be said about us. The Bible says you can do all the miracles, but we cast out devils in your name. And Jesus says, I never knew you. I love the signs and wonders. I love the miracles. But give me somebody who knows God. Give me somebody who knows God. But I believe there's both. You can have both. Let's all stand together. I'm just, actually, just Brian and Jessica, just y'all two come up. No offense to everybody, I just want. I want you to bow your heads with me. Now listen, just you and him. Now for the rest of your time here at Hope Church, and I say, now just you and him, you know what I mean. Just you and him. I heard this lady, her name was Fuchsia Pickett. When I was 21, 22, and I was learning, she was like a mentor to me. She was 82 years old. She was a mentor to me. Of course, she didn't know it. I knew her, but I'd listened to her tapes and her CDs. Well, not just tapes. Just with your eyes closed, this is what she would say. She would say, if Jesus himself was with you in this room, in this moment, he said, what would you do? She said, I would just bow down and I would worship him. She said, I would probably cry. I'd probably just tell him how much I loved him. Tell him how much I appreciated him. Tell him how much I appreciated. I would probably just put my hands on his nail-scarred hands and just thank him and thank him. And then I would ask him about my direction for my own life. I would ask him, God, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Like, I surrender, I give you my life. What would you, if Jesus himself came and appeared into your room, what would you do? And then Fuchsia Pickett looked at that lady and says, and just do it. What would you ask of him this morning? Thank you, Lord. I feel like the Lord, you know, just, he says, David, this is what I felt like the Lord just now. He said, David, they're too busy. We're too busy. We got too many things that cloud our minds. We got too many things that strain for our attention. If it's the radio, it's your cell phone, it's your the movies, it's the entertainment, it's the political situations, it's the this, it's the that. I just felt, David, you're too busy. Your minds are too busy. He says, would you just tell him to give me space? Just give me space. Let me just say, this doesn't happen with somebody laying hands on you and going down a prayer line. This happens as we seek after him. He says if we seek him with our whole heart, he'll be found. Let's sing that to Him. Just you and him. Thank Him for it.
It's the blood of Jesus shed for me. And what a sacrifice to save my life. Yes, the blood, it is my gift. Oh, the blood.
Come on, just you and Him. Listen, if you need to sit down, that would be better. Whatever, just you and Him. If you want to come down to the front, if that would be whatever. If you need to go to the back, whatever. Just you and Him. Just you and Him.
Jesus, wholehearted, one thing I ask, that I may gaze upon Your beauty, O Lord, that I may see Your holy face,
that
I may know You.
Very simple song. So God, we want to know you. I could search all the days of my life and never enter into the depths of all of that God has. There's more. What do I want you to know this morning? I want you to know that there is fellowship with the Holy Spirit available to you. What do I want you to do this week? What does I feel like the Lord would have us do this week? To make space, make time for Him. Maybe it's early in the morning. And as much as I hate to tell you, it may cause you to lose some sleep. You may have to go away. Spend time with Him. Jesus made it a habit to separate Himself and spend time with the Father. So can we. There was none more busy, no more a bigger agenda than what Jesus had. And if He can have time, we can. So God, we look to You. Come, make this Your prayer as we pray, as we close. God, help me. For some of us, God, this is all new and new stuff and maybe things we haven't really considered. God, would You help me? And we'll help us walk through this, Lord. Lead me into this. I thank You, God, that You're a great leader. So, God, will You just lead me in this? I want to know You. And, God, I pray, God, that as we know You, as we spend time in Your presence, as we spend time in Your Word, God, You change us into Your image. God, we thank You for that. We thank You, God, for Your life, that in You there's life. And God, we thank You. We honor You. We want to seek You. In Jesus' name.